Praise the Lord, everyone. We're so happy to be back, and my, don't we feel the goodness of God here tonight. Praise the Lord. What a presence of the Lord to all this choir and worship team. Could not be better. God bless you. Please be seated a moment. I just want to greet you and thank you again for having us. I'm happy that two of our boys are with us. My wife, Miranda's over here beside Sister Stevenson, and we're happy to be back, and we celebrate again with you, Pastor's birthday. What a privilege to be here around the time of his birthday, and we honor him not only as a powerful man of God and of faith, but as a dear, dear friend. And I can echo these good brethren. What a great man, and he's been such an influence on our lives for many years now. And we're so very thankful. But before I preach the word of God, I've got my son Tyler with me. I want him to give a word of testimony.
Praise the Lord. Excited to be at Wallace Ridge. I've been trying to match the energy, but my personality can't do it. Y'all got it going on around here. But just want to give a short testimony. And a couple months ago, probably at the beginning of August, something like that, school rolling around, I'm going into my senior year. I'm a senior now. And so I've been contemplating my whole life, you know, at the brink of this couple months. I know some of y'all are smiling. Some of y'all been there. Some of you are getting there. And anyway, so I was kind of faced with some college and career choices, you know. What do I want to do? Where do I want to go? And I didn't feel like I was excelling in the areas I wanted to, you know. Everybody feels that way at some point. Maybe not. It looks like it's just me. But it's okay. Anyway, well, I wasn't. And I was kind of thinking, I said, you know, it had been a long week. We had been landscaping. That was during the Louisiana drought that I've never seen in my life before. And everything was just kind of, it was all building up, and I was aggravated. Like I said, doing landscaping with my dad, I was taking it out on my dad every single day. And anyway, I said all that to say, I said, you know what, let me just speak the name of Jesus over this situation of me not knowing directionally where I want to go with my life. Yeah, has anybody else been there before? Okay, perfect, good. Anyway, like I say, I'm contemplating everything. What do I want to do? Where do I want to go? Bible school, you know, normal college, secular college, or just working or whatever I want to do. I said, you know what? Let me speak the name of Jesus. In Philippians 2:9, it says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every other name. So I said, you know what? He said it plainly right there that his name is above everything else. If I can just speak it at the mention of his name, maybe something will happen. Immediate joy and stability and peace, it'll wipe over you if you really just speak it. It's the truth. It is. And I know most of you know that. But after that, I said, you know what? Something hit me out of nowhere. Acts 4:12, neither is our salvation. More than him wiping that away, that stability and that peace, more than him doing that, his name is the only name that can save you. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So if you're having a long week and you need a Savior, just speak the name of Jesus.
Come on and lift your hands and say, Jesus, come into my situation. Jesus, have your way in my life. Oh, God, we need your help. Praise God. Some of you are standing. Please stand with me. We'll look at Joshua chapter 12 for a moment. Joshua chapter 12 and verse number 11. Again, what a thrill to be here. We're just following the Holy Ghost tonight and allow the Lord to speak. Joshua chapter 14 and verse number 12. Joshua 14 and verse number 12. And again, Pastor, we honor you, love you. This great host of people, this church, we honor all of you. So faithful in your attendance and giving to the kingdom of God. This is a powerful church, and it's because all of you contribute. Those praying in the prayer rooms, those working on these grounds continually, we honor all of you. Joshua chapter 14 and verse 11, and speaking about Caleb here for a few moments, Joshua 14 and 11, and he says, as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me, and my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, the giants, and that the cities were great and fenced, if so be that the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Father, bless this great host of people. Allow me to minister to their hearts in these moments together. God, break through every spirit of doubt and unbelief. Lose faith, healing, blessing, miracle-working power in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everyone say out loud, amen. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you for standing to honor the word of the Lord. And all of our friends, Sadie, Sophie, Ava, and Millie, these precious young ladies, we honor this family and so thankful for their friendship. And this evening, I'd like to speak to you for a few moments from the subject, stay in the battle, stay in the battle. Look at your neighbor and say, stay in the battle. Life is a battle. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Paul used the metaphor of his life as a fight. My entire life was a fight. Sure, there are times of contentment and peace and tranquility, but overall, we would have to say that our life was a battle. And the sooner we recognize that as the people of God, the sooner we get involved and make a difference in the kingdom of God. It doesn't matter if you're a docile or mild personality, maybe a meek person, but nevertheless, you recognize I'm a soldier in the army of God. I'm at least a prayer warrior. I can do something to battle the forces of hell and darkness, the principalities and the powers and the rulers of wickedness in high places. I recognize that there's a spiritual world and a physical world. And though I might not have strong physical muscles, I have a spiritual man that can conquer kingdoms of darkness. And I can be useful in the kingdom of God just by prayer and fasting and sacrifice and commitment and godliness as an example to this world. And Paul said, I fought a good fight. Therefore, I expect a crown of righteousness, a reward in heaven. That's not why we do it. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 9 and 25 that people in the world, they strive for a mastery, whatever that is, athletics of all sorts and the Olympics, and they work diligently for hours and weeks and sometimes decades, all for a corruptible crown, all for a gold medal, all for maybe $1 million, which will soon fade. And even in Corinth, whom this book was written to, the Olympic Games were held just in that area. And people knew that when the writer was saying, I have fought a fight, I have competed, they knew exactly what he was referring to, because the winner of those competitions did not receive money in those days. They ran and they worked and they labored and they exercised, all for just the honor of doing it. Just so everybody in town would know I conquered and I prevailed and I'm the strongest and I'm the fastest. And at most, they would receive what we would look like as to be a Christmas wreath, a woven branches of pine needles together. And that was their award. And it was not imitation. It was made from real trees. And in just a matter of 2 weeks, it would fade and fall apart. Their crown was corruptible. It only lasted for a moment. But Paul said, if I'm going to fight, I'm going to get in a battle that's worth fighting for. I'm going to get in a competition that's eternal. And brother, I'm not expecting some trivial piece of ornament. I want a crown of righteousness. I'm laboring for something eternal. I'm working for heaven. I'm fighting the good fight of faith, and it's all for a heavenly reward. You see, some people get tired because they want all their rewards here and now. I've lived for God long enough to say this. If you're going to do something for God, you may as well love doing it, because oftentimes, 99.9% of the time, there is no earthly reward for your service in the kingdom of God. You do it from a pure heart because you want to be used in the kingdom of God. When you finish your term, there may not be a plaque to put on your wall. There may not be a certificate certificate, but heaven has recorded every hour you put into it, every dollar you've invested into the kingdom of God, every Sunday that you've worked as a Sunday school teacher, every song that you've sang in the choir. It's all recorded in heaven, and God keeps very good records. Don't count on somebody else to pat you on the back and reward you, but you get in the fight for a heavenly reward. Pastor, I love you, but you may not be there to pat me on the back. I've got to do it, and only the eyes of God may know about it. But you know what? I'm doing it so that my family can be saved. My spouse can be saved and helped. I'm doing it for my community. I'm a witness everywhere I go, not because somebody's watching over me, but because I want to serve the kingdom of God. Aren't you thankful to be in the fight? Galatians 6 and 17 says, the flesh wars against the spirit. We're fighting a fight. Ephesians 6 and 12 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Of course, you know I'm not talking about fighting against your neighbor or your boss or even someone you despise. I'm talking about fighting in the spiritual realm. Even if it's people you don't like, we don't fight people. We fight the spirits of darkness of this world. We fight the cultural spirits and the principalities and even Satan, who is the prince and the power of the airways, because negative thoughts are rampant. Evil imaginations, they soar over us. And if we're not careful, we'll adopt those ways of thinking. But, you know, when I start having doubtful, negative thoughts, I just have to find a place of prayer and say, I'm breaking through this negative thought train. I'm breaking through these evil. Sometimes you got to get up in the middle of the night beside your bed and say, I rebuke evil nightmares and dreams. I know that's not from God. That's not according to the will of God. I pull down those strong. I'm going to battle for my mind. I'm going to battle for pure thoughts. You see, faith and doubt are so contagious. The children of Israel sent out 12 spies. Because they got to the promised land, but they said, Moses, we're just not sure about it. Let us send out some spies and see if we can conquer them. And they brought back a report. 10 of them were negative and 2 of them were good. Caleb was one of the good ones. But the other 10 said, we cannot do it. We saw 3 people who were giants. And therefore, we think that the whole nation is stronger than us, and we cannot prevail against them. And those 10 people let their negative report saturate the entire nation. And because of those 10 people, probably just one started a domino effect. And many thousands, hundreds of thousands of people died because of doubt and unbelief. It's so contagious. When you speak something negative to your neighbor, it sparks something in their mind that is devastating. If I'm going to say something, God, let me say something that encourages, that edifies, and that pushes faith to the next level in their life. I want to be a person who can speak faith to my friends and to my family. Can you say amen? Amen. We're in a fight. What are we fighting? We're fighting those evil principalities. But we're also fighting a culture. We're fighting negative thoughts. And we are fighting the flesh. I'm preaching to good people tonight. I know it's Sunday night. I know I'm talking to the church. But all of us have to say, you know what? My biggest enemy may not be the devil this week. My biggest enemy may not be demonic forces from hell. It might just be the fact that my own carnal mind and my own physical body doesn't want to serve the Lord. As much as we rejoice about serving the Lord, the reality is on Tuesday morning about 9 o'clock, it might be easier to say, you know what, I'm just going to put that on hold today and do what flesh wants to do. But you know what, you got to keep fighting against the flesh all the days of your life. And maybe perhaps that's what Paul was talking about. Even though people know I'm a good man and I got a good reputation, I'm the apostle and all that, he said, I'm still fighting against the flesh. He went on to say, the things that I should do, often I don't do. And the things I should do, I often don't do. But he's saying, I'm in a battle against my flesh. And just like all of you, I've got to wake up every day and push back against my carnal mind. I've got to push back against flesh who doesn't want to serve God. You're going to battle it. And the sooner you know about it, especially to this younger generation, let me just step over here and tell you, you're going to have to fight against the flesh. There's going to be days when temptation rises up, and it's going to be more convenient and more comfortable to answer to your own selfishness and pride. But you know what? You just got to push off against that. Say, I'm going to pray another 10 minutes. I'm going to pray another 20 minutes if I have to. I'm in a battle against the flesh, and if I answer to my flesh, I'm going to be lost for eternity. If I answer to my lust or my pride or my jealousy or my anger or my evil speaking, I'm going to be corrupt and I'm going to be lost. But it's not just young people. I got three boys. Two of them I call teenagers, 17 and 21. They said the other day, said, Dad, you and Mom are at a different stage of life. Y'all not dealing with the pressures we have. I said, I recognize that and I agree with that. However, I can promise you there's other pressures and other difficulties in our stage of life. And some of you elders could say with a surety, there's never a place you get to that you can put it on autopilot and stop fighting against the flesh and carnal thinking, because you could serve the Lord 50 years, and if you take a break on your prayer life this week, next week you're going to be battling all hell. Hallelujah. You got to stay in the battle. You got to stay in the fight. Keep the gloves on. Stay in the ring. Whatever you have to do, don't get complacent and don't get tired. So here's the story. Caleb says, give me Hebron. He had seen the promised land, and he said, Hebron is the place that many of the patriarchs are buried. Hebron is the keystone of Canaan, the promised land. And Caleb says, would you give me that territory? And of course, you know that negative report caused the children of Israel to stay on the opposite side of the Jordan for a long time, until a whole generation died off except for those two that gave the good report. But finally, after 40 years, this is where we jump back into Joshua chapter 14. Caleb says, I still got it in my heart to take Hebron. I still want that to be my inheritance. And he said, though I'm 85 years old now, I just read it to you. He said, I feel as strong as I did when I was 40 years old. Now, I know that's pushing the limits for some people tonight. You may not feel that way. Never mind how old I am. But I'm twice as old as I used to be. Hallelujah. And I can feel it some days. I just can't lift as much as I used to do. I can't run as fast as I used to run. And I'm wondering, Caleb is saying, I feel just as good and as strong now as I did then. He's saying, it's still in my heart to do what I wanted to do all those years ago. And he said, maybe he's just pleading his case, because he said, I'm as able now to go to war as I was then. He's saying, I know I'm past the age that you don't let soldiers my age get in the military any longer. But Caleb says, I've refused to be left out of this battle. Matter of fact, I can be useful. I got more experience now than anybody else on the team. I got more knowledge than any. I got more faith in God than any. And you know what? There ought to be an elder tonight grab a hold of this again and say, you know what? I might feel left out of the youth event. I might feel out of the outreach, left out of the outreach event. But you know what? I still feel useful in the kingdom. Pastor, tell me what I can do. I can still pray. I can still intercede. I can still have faith. I can still be an altar worker. I got more experience than all this younger generation. I know what God can do. I've seen God do it many times. Stay in the battle. Oh, how easy it is to get tuned out. You can say, well, I've paid my dues. I've done my part. I'm going to sit back on my hands. I'm going to watch somebody else do it. No, you just stay in the battle. I feel the word of God giving me an unction right now. You just stay in the battle. Say, well, 2023 is almost over. We might as well just let it slide on by. You know what? There's a few weeks left. I believe God still has some miracles for this year. I know I'm planning for next year. But you know what? I still got some jobs to do. I still see some contracts coming. I still see some souls being saved. I still see somebody getting baptized in 2023. I'm just going to stay in the battle. I don't care if it's spring, summer, fall, or winter. I got to keep myself in the battle. It's a battle. Life is a battle. It's a battle to stay healthy. Some of you are battling symptoms and heart disease and cancer. You're dealing with kidney failure. You're dealing with arthritis. And all of those things can cause you just to feel like your time has passed. But you know what? I just want to encourage you with this word. We're all in the battle. Though your battle is different than mine today, we're fighting something. If you're fighting some sickness, I'm just telling you, don't give up and let doubt take over. But you just keep on believing. Tonight at this altar, I believe you could be delivered from some malady that you thought was incurable. We've seen miracles in this church. We've heard testimonies. God's done it over and over again. You might be on your last leg tonight, but by the laying on of hands, by the pastor, by the anointing with oil, by praying in faith, two or three gathered together, speaking 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes thou art healed, and Matthew 8:17, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying himself took our infirmities and he bears our sicknesses. Did you know that the word of God has power to prevail over every sickness and every disease and over every devil, according to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 1. I still believe the word of God. Reach out to it. Stay in the battle. I believe you can overcome if you keep fighting it. I believe you can be victorious if you keep fighting it. Hallelujah. I read something this week that moved me, and I want to swiftly go to it. I asked the media team if they could possibly get a hold of a picture, and maybe they can bring that up if possible. If not, it's okay. But I read about, there it is. I read about this significant ship in World War II. This was the USS Enterprise, CV-6, the one that was involved in the World War II. It was launched in 1936, commissioned in 1938. This particular ship earned over 20 battle stars, three more than any other ship ever has. This ship was involved with 18 of the 20 major battles on the sea in World War II. Some of those battles were names you recognize: Pearl Harbor, Guadalcanal, Midway, Leyte Gulf, and the Battle of the Philippine Sea, just to name a few. 20 battles in World War II. This ship was in 18 of them. The 90 planes that were stationed on this aircraft carrier shot down 911 enemy planes. Her bombers sunk 71 ships and damaged 192 other ships. When the enemy saw this ship on the sea, it immediately struck fear in their hearts. There were only three ships in World War II that were built before the war began and lasted all the way through the duration. This is one of those three. Finally, after the war was over, and she was decorated as the most famous ship of the war, this ship was used on that final mission called the Magic Carpet Mission, which would bring back all of the troops from Europe and the Pacific And all of our soldiers and sailors and airmen rode on these ships that were used as battleships, but now they were cruise liners to bring our soldiers home. What a fascinating history. On three separate occasions, the enemy claimed that they had sank this ship. Three separate occasions, they publicized that we have taken out the Enterprise, but they never could do it. The Enterprise seemed to have a destiny that was greater than the battle. And like this particular ship, I cannot help but somehow see the similarities between the people of God and these battleships, because you have been through a lot of battles in your life. I just want to tell you, some of you have taken some hits from the enemy. Some of you are 50 and 60 and 70 and 80 years old, and you can say the enemy has tried to destroy me over and over again. He's tried to give me reason to quit the church over and over again. He's shot at me. He's torpedoed me. He's bombed me. He's lied about me. I've been through hell and high water, but you just hear me. I'm still in the fight. I'm still in the battle. I might not be as pretty as I used to be. I might have smoke and soot. My paint may not be as pretty as it was. But you hear me, devil, I'm still in the fight. I'm still in the battle. I'm still working at it. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody ought to help me preach on Sunday night. Stay in the battle. Stay in the fight. I believe it's going to be worth it all. Some of you have fought cancer and heart disease for years. Some of you have been battling sickness and arthritis longer than you can remember. But just let me remind you, it was a woman with the issue of blood for 12 years. It was a man by the pool for 38 years. It was Bartimaeus his whole life that battled it. Just because you had it a long time don't mean God can't help you. Some of you have been battling financial situations this year. Interest rates are high and the stock market is different. Economy is changing. We're all facing it, brother. And I can tell you, it's been a fight for all of us. It don't matter what level you're at, you're in a fight right now. If you're going to make it, you're going to have to keep working at it. If one thing doesn't work, you may have to try something different. But you know what? I'm going to stay in the fight. I refuse to give up. I refuse to throw in the towel. God's been too good to me. Come on, brother, I'm in this and I'm feeling the Holy Ghost right now. I just need a church that's going to get behind me. Come on and clap your hands like you're still in the fight. Come on, have you checked out? Are you still in this thing? I still believe we're going to have great revival. I still believe your kids are going to be delivered from fentanyl, from meth and cocaine. I still believe there's a God bigger than alcoholism. I still believe there's a God that can deliver from perversion. I still believe, God, we're going to keep fighting for them. We're going to keep reaching for them. We're going to keep believing. I'm in a fight. Hear me. Just stand with me. Stay standing. The enemy has written your death wish. And the truth be known, he's all but destroyed us many times. The greatest thing is, a good man falls seven times, but he gets back up again. How many times did this ship have to come in for repairs? How many times were new guns stationed on it? You know what? You drag yourself to the house of God and say, Pastor, I've been through the ringer this week, but by the grace of God, I feel the restoration power coming on me. I might be an older model, but you know what? I'm still battle worthy. Caleb said, I'm the oldest one here. Caleb said, I'm the oldest one here, but I'm the only one that can take those giants. And the news is, he did it. He did it. And he took Hebron. Hallelujah. You know what? I feel the Holy Ghost. The enemy has counted you out of the battle, but if you want to be counted in the fight, I'm asking you to walk to this altar as a church family. If you want to be counted in the fight, I want you to walk to this altar for a few moments. I want you to come to this altar for a few minutes. This worship team is here to help me. Whatever you feel, be good. You just follow the Holy Ghost. I feel, come on and lift those hands right now. Make a profession to God and to the enemy. I'm still in this fight. Don't you count me out. I'm going to cause you some injury you never had before. My giants are still going to fall. My giants are still going to come down. Come on and help me now. There it is, Eli.
Well, it's a struggle for survival. We daily meet the foe out there on the battlefield. Sometimes we stand alone. That's when I reach for my holy armor, pick up my shield of faith. I march on to the battlefield. I take out my sword and say, the mountain's high, but it's not too steep. The battle is rough, but I'm not too weak. And I won't turn back, no. No, I won't turn back. The road is hot, but it's not too long. The enemy's near, but he's not too strong. I won't turn back, no. No, I won't turn back.
Well, it's a struggle for survival. We daily meet the foe out here on this battlefield. Sometimes we stand alone. That's when I reach for my holy armor. I pick up my shield of faith. I march on to the battlefield. I take out my sword and say,
the mountain's high, but it's not too steep. The battle is rough, but I'm not too weak. I won't turn back, no. No, I won't turn back. Well, the road is hot, but it's not too long. The enemy.